I'm going to put you on hold.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Romance. I'm your host, Tricia Harmon McCarthy, a platform for writers, authors, and poets alike who love everything about romance. Today's guest, I'm excited to have Melanie James on the show today. She's going to be discussing her collection, Christmas anthology called Under the Mistletoe, which I'm very proud to be part of this project. So please join me as I interview Melanie and talk about this anthology and more about her career. Enjoy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to All About Romance. I'm Tricia Harley McCarthy, and today is a special show we're doing to celebrate a Christmas anthology put together by the brilliant Melanie James. I'm going to bring her on so we can talk about it and see what the creation was to gather all these authors together to celebrate Under the Mistletoe. Hi, Melanie. Welcome.
Hi, Trish. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm doing well. It's a gloomy day here in Oregon, which is my favorite weather, which is kind of weird, but I love the season. It's my season. I love Christmas time. And so how's it there where you are?
I am in Wisconsin, and it's cold and snowy and crappy already. So, but it's been snowing here since mid-October.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We get a little snow, but it doesn't stick.
Our winters last from beginning of October until end of May, usually, when we get rid of the snow.
Well, it's Midwest, I guess, and it's also, it's kind of like Minnesota, too. They don't have long season.
We primarily have winter. I live right on the Lake Michigan shoreline, so we get a lot of lake effect snow and cooler weather in the summer. So our summers very rarely get over 80 degrees here.
Oh, that's nice. So that's why I like Oregon, because we don't get too many hot days, and it's perfect. Because I'm originally from California, and I was living in Sacramento. If you know any Sacramento weather, it's just hotter than hell. And I just couldn't do it anymore. I like the cool weather. So,
I'm originally from the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area, so it tends to get very hot there in the summer, too.
Oh, and not to mention humid.
Oh, my God. Awful.
I lived one season in St. Louis, and humidity and me were not best friends. It was it was awful. Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, so I am just so excited about this anthology, and I kind of wanted to get your input on how you came about to collect everybody to do this. It sounds like you've done this before. I'm not sure.
I have. So, I've done several anthologies. I do a lot of paranormal ones because I primarily write paranormal romance, paranormal romantic comedy, and I do also contemporary romance as well. It's on the steamier side, but always with an HEA. It's just what I love to write. So this one, I had a lot of people asking if I had any plans on doing a Christmas anthology or box set. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't at the beginning of the year. And then I figured, well, you know, a lot of people really want to do this. So the readers are asking for it. Other writers are asking for it. Let's put it together and see what happens.
Well, it looks like you got a lot of good talent to be part of this anthology, and I'm
absolutely.
What's your story about exactly? Because I haven't had the opportunity to read it because I've been involved in so much other author business going on that I just don't have time to do everything. You know, it's one of those things.
Absolutely. My story is Snowflakes, X's and O's, and it tells the story of Abby, who fell in love with Dylan when they were in high school. And he left their small town and went away into the military right out of high school. It was kind of something he had on his mind in the back burner, but he didn't tell anybody about it because he didn't want to be talked out of his decision, because his dad had been grooming him to take over the, you know, family pub in a small town, and he just didn't want to do it. He wanted to go and see the world. So he just kind of left and never looked back. And he didn't realize everything that he was leaving when he did that until he had to go home for his father's funeral. And he had a few surprises sprung on him when he got back to town.
Wow. That sounds fun. No, it sounds like a Y and A, but is it, or is it?
No, it's not Y and A.
Okay, so the characters obviously develop, you know, and they're into their, what, 20s or 30s when he hopefully comes back and then realizes
exactly
all the cool things that are there in front of him. Yeah, that sounds great. I'm just gonna have to read that and hopefully get time to read things, because I'm sure your TBR list is sky high, like
mine. I have
mine,
about 6,000 books on my Kindle.
Oh my goodness, that's more than I have.
The last time I had to call in for support for anything, the Kindle rep, just to deal with my Kindle. They were like, oh my God, I don't think I've seen this huge in quite a while. So
yeah.
I think they may give me an award for that.
Yeah. Is it called Addict? Kindle Addict or Book Addict or 12-step program? You take your pick.
Yeah, I tend to use the hashtag book whore.
I actually like that one. That's good.
So
exactly. So the book that I put in there is Falling Accidentally in Love. It's part of my Granite Bay series. And my characters are two people who fall in love. They actually, kind of similar to your story, they meet at a masquerade party in college. And then they reunite at another Halloween masquerade party. And then they kind of get together. And then there's a lot of angst, and it's kind of a paranormal in a sense that one of the characters actually dies for a short time, but that she comes back. So the story kind of revolves around all that. So it was a really emotional but fun read. You know, it's angsty, and it's very spiritual too. It's, it's that deep soulful love kind of story that I personally like to read on occasion. And so I was inspired by all that, so hopefully people will find that story uplifting too, just in lots of twists and turns. So
I'm sure they will.
So tell us, you also, I saw you had a book come out today, Joyful and Lee.
No, that's actually Joyful Lee. That is book 6 in the Literal Lee Romance Diaries. That is actually an older book, but I try to put it special out there for the holidays, because it's Lee celebrates Thanks Hanukkahmas, so she's Jewish, but her soon-to-be husband is not, so she wants to combine all of the holidays with a childlike joy that she missed so much. So she decided to combine Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, and Christmas together, and in this magical community, disaster's always waiting to happen, because Lee was a school teacher who found a writing desk that compels her to write erotic romance stories. And everything that she writes happens literally.
Oh, so, I love that. So she manifests it, huh? That's cool.
Exactly. So it's really, to be honest, it's a raunchy, comedic, hysterical mismatch of witches, shifters. I've got a little bit of everything in those books, but they're my laugh out loud or hysterical romance. So if you're looking for a true deep dive into romance, you're not going to find it in those, because if the characters try to have sex, it goes horribly and hysterically wrong. So every time. Whereas those ones are just more for, I wrote those during a very rough period of time in my life when my daughter was suffering from severe epilepsy. And it was right before her brain surgery, where she had most of the right side of her brain removed to control her seizures. And I needed something to lighten up the mood, because I was in a really rough place. And the Lee series basically just gave me an outlet to be funny, to be creative. And they're not serious in any way, shape, or form. They're lighthearted, laughing, just fun reads. And I've gotten thousands of letters now from readers just to say thank you for writing something light and funny and cheerful when they are, having a very hard time in their lives, going through chemo or a divorce or something so serious where they just needed something to take them out of that seriousness that life often throws at us. So that's
right.
What my comedic witches are all about, just the fun of life and how we need to just let go and laugh sometimes. Laughter really is the best medicine sometimes.
I agree. And it sounds like your writing is therapy in many ways, because obviously you've endured a lot of hardships. So that's an escape to be able to feel somewhat normal, I guess, in a sense, perhaps.
Exactly.
And so you can kind of get your bearings, because sometimes when life throws curveballs at us, we're not ready, you know, and it hits us right in the head and we're kind of stunned. And yeah. And that's lovely that you have, you know, that's rewarding, I think, for a writer to get all those lovely messages from people to say, thank you for making me laugh. And it is like giving back of yourself. I think that's fantastic. Now, you are a prolific writer, from what I gather. And how many books have you published?
I'm approaching the 50 mark.
50? Oh, that's all?
Yeah, well, that's all. That's all, just 50-ish. So somewhere, I'm above 40, but not quite at 50. I haven't counted. I've lost track. I'll check at some point. I have several series that I write in paranormal comedy, and I've done a couple of contemporary romance series, because I really have a hard time deciding on what I want to write. Sometimes I want to write sexy shifters, other times I want to write funny witches. Sometimes I just want a serious couple. Or another set that I have is the Avilia Drive series, and that's just contemporary romance about troubled marriages and relationships, and just how sometimes we really need to talk to our partner, our spouse, and figure out what's wrong and try to fix
it.
So I have a 6-book series there that's all about, you know, a group of women who are close friends that live in the same, drive, that, you know, want to reconnect in their marriages. They feel like they've lost something. So they're working together as a group to help each other reclaim the lost love in their marriages. So I like that series quite a lot too.
Oh, that sounds like something I would totally love to read, and I'd probably devour it, because once I start reading someone's book and I love it, it sounds like I would definitely love that series.
Ava and Will is the first one out there. It's Ava and Will is the name of it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, and it's again Avilia Drive. So.
Okay, I'll look it up. And are you on Amazon exclusively? Or are you on all the platforms?
I have several on Amazon exclusively, and I have some on all the platforms. I kind of go back and forth between the two.
Mm-hmm. And so how long have you been writing? I know that's kind of a dead question, but
I've been writing all of my life, literally. I've always loved writing and telling stories. I think it's an integral part of who I've always been. I didn't choose that path right away. As far as careers, I've had a lot of different careers, from sports marketing to my last trade. What I actually went to college for I was a Microsoft engineer for 15 years in several large IT shops across the country. And it was a great job. It paid the bills. You know, I decided that out when I divorced my first husband and I had my daughter. It was just her and I, and I wanted a career that would be good and allow me to take care of her and you know, not live in poverty, and be able to give her the life that I wanted to give her. So I did that for many years. And then it got to the point where I was just so sick of fixing everybody's problems on computers and servers breaking down and working 80 hours a week for somebody else. And, you know, it got to the point where I said, you know what, I'm done. And I went back to college again, actually, and I wanted to be a teacher for adult education. And I had a friend at the time, well, she's still my friend, Claudia Kahn. She's a New York Times bestselling author. She was a writer, and I got really into her books, and I became close friends with her. And she's like, oh, you should write a short story. I'm like, no. So you should write a short story. So I finally did. And the next thing I knew, it was published, and it was hitting bestsellers list. And I was like, oh, my God. And I finished my bachelor's degree, and I got to 3 credits short of my master's degree in teaching. And I was like, you know what? I can't even write this thesis because I don't want to. And writing just took off for me from then, and I haven't looked back.
I just love how that life just shifts for you and you just realize that's not what I want. And then you shift and go and write and do what you love. It sounds like that's your passion, obviously. I think most writers would feel that way. They feel like these tortured souls. They don't write, then they're useless, you know? It's kind of that insecurities of the writers and the doubts and all that. Do you still have doubts when you write?
Oh, every single book. But I think the way I've learned to look at it over the years, first, I don't ever read any reviews that are out there that are left on Amazon. I can't even tell you the last time I actually logged into Goodreads. I don't go there. And there's two reasons for that. One, I feel as an author, the reader reviews are not for me. They are for other readers.
That's a good point.
It's not for you as an author. It's for other readers to let them know what they thought of your book, to decide whether or not they want to purchase it. It's not a critique on of your work. And if it is, well, that should probably come from your publisher or your peers or something like that. Yes. Or beta teams, whatever. So I don't read reviews at all. Secondly, the books that I write what I want to write for me, the stories that are in my head. And the only thing that I can hope is I put them out there, do the best that I can, you know, making sure this story's solid. And I don't write for what people want. I write for what I want, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense, because that's kind of, I've heard that, spoken again and again about write what you love as opposed to not writing for the masses. Because if you're writing for the masses, you're just seeking approval from somewhere else other than yourself. And the only person that really needs to approve of you is you. So that's cool. I love that piece of advice. And, you know, I think you're right on about the reviews. I think I'm going to start doing that, because I look
it's
at
not
reviews.
Worth the first reason. You know what? You'll see 100 great reviews, and that's perfect. But if you see one negative review, that can cut you down and really, really make you feel like, why am I even doing this? But then you have to have perspective,
exactly,
too. You can go look at Anne Rice. You can look at Stephen King. You can look at Nora Roberts. You can look at any of the big authors who have been doing this for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Not a single one of them has a perfect 5-star review. You're lucky on some of them. They have 2.8, 3.0, 3.2. And they've made millions off of their books. They've had them turned into movies, TV shows. They've never had perfect reviews. So why should any of us beat ourselves up over, oh my God, I got a 1-star review? Well, guess what? Not everybody's going to like your writing, because I don't like every book that I read. So how can I possibly expect everybody to like every book that I write? They're not going to. It's an impossible state or an impossible idea to have that you're only going to get good reviews, because that's just not the way the world works. You're going to have dissent no matter what. So again, I just don't read reviews, because for me, excuse me, it doesn't make any sense to. So
I think that's sound advice, because if you're insecure to begin with, and then you read something else, that's going to just compound that. And it just gives more self-doubt. And I think it just clouds your creativity totally, and just
it
messes up with your mind. So I think that's sound advice. And what inspires you? What is your inspiration?
You know, I can't say that I have an inspiration per se. This is something that I love to do, and now I see it as a job. So just like any other job, you're going to get up and go to work every day. So if I don't get up and go to work every day, then I'm not going to get paid, and I'm not going to have a house, and my family is going to have food on the table. So I don't necessarily look for inspiration. I think once you get so many books down the line, your writing becomes easier, each story. I'm not going to say you're not going to struggle with stories or plots or characters, you know, getting each one right or having the perfect amount of flaws in each character. But I don't look for anything to necessarily inspire me. I can see, you know, a girl in a restaurant who's a waitress, and she may look plain to somebody else, you know, no makeup, her hair's just up in a ponytail. But what I see is, you know, an absolute beauty who, you know, may have her own insecurities of herself, and she's wondering what her customers think about her, and she's had a hard day, and, you know, she's got the most flawless skin, but nobody sees it because she's not, you know, covered in makeup and they just don't pay attention to her. She's got the brightest blue eyes, but they're hidden behind a pair of glasses. That's where I see characters and stories.
That's cool. And I'm sure you, if you're like me, you have tons of ideas in your head. Do you write them down or do you keep them in your head until you're ready to write? How do you do all that? How do you organize your thoughts?
I do a bunch of both. And of course, my stories always seem to come when I'm in the tub because for me, I'm serious. I'm one of those.
I believe you. No, I'm laughing because I get mine in the shower.
If I could figure out a way to put a desk over my bathtub and just stay there all day, I would be the happiest camper ever, literally. And that's not even a joke. Because I'll take my Kindle in to the bathtub, which probably isn't smart, but I've been doing it for like 10 years. So I haven't drowned one yet, knock on wood. I'll stay in there for 5 hours and read an entire book, you know. And I'll have my dog next to me. And if anyone opens the door, he growls at everybody and they scatter away. It's really a perfect system that I have going on.
It sounds like it. That's cool. I love that. Yeah. And I get my inspiration in the shower, actually. I'll be thinking of something, like if I have a plot twist I need to figure out, I don't know how to do it. I get in the shower and it just something opens up. I don't know how to explain it. It's just your whole, you know, higher self opens up, or your inspiration, whatever you want to call it, it opens up and all the creativity kind of flows. At least that works for me. So that's cool.
Exactly.
I love that. What's your best advice to new writers? Because I know I'm in a group of writers that's probably more, you know, I've written, you know, I've published 9 books, but I'm still kind of in the learning curve, you know. I'm finally getting some traction. And what do you say to new authors? What's your best piece of advice to new authors?
There's two things I would say. Sit your butt down and write. Don't worry about the marketing. Don't worry about the graphics. Don't worry about the planning. Sit down and write. You can do all the other stuff after you're done writing. Because if you worry about all the graphics and the marketing and everything else, well, that's great, but you still don't have a book. So what are you going to do with all that other stuff? Let's sit down and write first. Keep your butt in that chair, sit down and write. And secondly would be you can't edit a blank page. So write what's in your head. You're going to change it. And change it and change it and change it. And it's going to go through several revisions. At least it should go through several revisions. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's part of the process. But you cannot edit a blank page, period.
That's absolutely true. And you've nailed me on 2 points there, the marketing and the writing. I'm so busy trying to market a new book that I'm not writing my current book. And so you're absolutely right. And it's kind of given me some food for thought to really do that. Unfortunately, life happens too. That's been kind of crazy. Life happens and interrupts, you know, our writing. And that's kind of what I've been struggling with lately. But I'm anticipating getting back in the saddle and writing. Because when I write, that's my happy place. That's where I feel free. I can just
Do you work
write.
As well, or do you write full time?
I actually, I'm a dog walker.
Okay.
I do that. And I'm going to have to get some type of other side job. My husband's retired, so it's kind of like, my writing is not supporting anything right now. So I need to look at supplementing my income. So I'm looking at doing some type of delivery service of some sort.
Yeah.
So
the one good thing to keep in mind, if you feel like you're being pulled in so many different directions,
yes,
is,
yes,
just take half an hour to an hour and write a half a chapter, write 10 paragraphs, write a paragraph, just write something every day. Even if you can only spend 15 minutes, write 5 sentences, write 10 sentences.
Right. I think that's sound advice. Thank you for that. Do you involve yourself in the nano writing? Do you do any of that?
No, I don't. I have my own writing schedule. I don't try to keep up with trends and I just don't. Some days I can write 7,000 words a day. Other days I only write 2,500 words a day. It just, it really depends on the part of the book I'm at. If I'm, you know, really researching something pretty heavily, then I'm going to write less that day. So it's, you know, and some of the stories that I have, like one of the books that I released earlier this year, Unleashing Darkness, it has a lot of history and archaeology and travel in it. So you want to get that right. So it takes a lot of research to go and to look at these ancient sites and to find out, you know, what they were used for, what myths surround them, especially in a paranormal type setting.
Right.
You know, what are the ancient legends, you know, the folklore. That's where my true passion is, finding out that ancient folklore, those legends, beasts that came with those legends. So it really does take a degree of research to find out what the ancient people believed and what cultures believed about, you know, ancient burial sites or temples or things like that, or artifacts even.
I agree with you on that. And history is one of my passions. So that's cool. That's really cool. I just released I Shine in May, and that was about a cryptid, which is Sasquatch. And I had the opportunity to interview Dr. Jeff Meldrum, who's one of the leading cryptozoologists in the field. And I actually met the guys from Finding Bigfoot. I met recently from his museum here in Oregon. So it was really cool because I did a lot of research on that, especially the American Native Americans and their legends and honoring this Bigfoot. And in Oregon, they acknowledge this Bigfoot. So it's kind of cool that you can't harm a Bigfoot. They consider it, a sacred animal and part of the culture and heritage. So it's really
it's
cool.
Fun to bring up cryptozoologists and Sasquatches, and because in my Gertie's Paranormal Plantation, she actually has two Sasquatches, and the one, but they're really pretty, they're goofballs, and they do a lot of strange things, because it's paranormal romantic comedy, of course, so they're a little vulgar with sex toys, but I also have a cryptozoologist with, who, she wants to be a cryptozoologist, her name is Jessica, in When You Witch Upon a Star, and she's looking for, you know, some sexy shifters.
Mm-hmm.
So she, she might take a silly turn. What can I say?
Yeah.
Those books that I like.
I like that. I like that, you know, and congratulations on the anthology. I'm thank you for, you know, for letting me be part of it. I'm very honored, honestly.
It's been great.
I know.
And there's so many other fabulous authors that I work with. Terry Riggs, she is an absolute doll. I adore her. And her story's fabulous. Jennifer Terrio is great. Kate Angel, I've worked with her numerous times, and she is just absolutely fabulous and solid. Leah Davis, she also did the cover and formatting for us. She is such an absolute sweetheart, and her stories are fabulous. And then Nicole Garcia, I've known her since day one, and we actually started our writing careers around the same time. And she's, you know, a really good friend of mine, and also a doll as well. M.L. Broom, I don't really know her all that well yet. I'm hoping to get to know her more.
She's actually a very good friend. We've actually bonded over this. So she's a very good friend of mine. We have so much in common. So, well, that's
she's
almost the
fabulous.
End of... Yes, she is. She's great. And we're almost at the end of our time here. Do you want to tell, you could find the anthology Under the Mistletoe on pre-order, or it's actually live,
on live.
Amazon.
Romance Under the Mistletoe. You find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo Books, and iBooks.
And anyone who wants to follow you on Instagram or Facebook, you're on both, under Melanie James. Yes.
Correct.
And thank you for coming on and sharing your time with us. We really appreciate it. I'm sending good vibes and thoughts and healings to your husband. I hope, you know, he heals well, and, you know, he gets what he needs and medical attention. And you take care. And I just enjoy your interactions on social media. And thank you for being here. And on Saturday, I'm going to have Kelly Brixton with her first release. So please join me then. Thank you again, Melanie. Have a great evening. And everyone, thank you for joining us. Have a great day. Bye.